Hi, my name is Ken. I'm an alcoholic. It's really good to be here. I want to thank, do my housekeeping first. I want to thank Rich and Eric for picking me up at the airport at 4:30 in the morning. It was one of those really memorable trips. And I was telling them there was a big convention coming back from San Diego, California, where I was flying in from. They were all French. And they were going to Montreal. And I was sitting next to a guy who snored. I have a lot of empathy now for women who sleep with snores. And I don't know any French, but I knew they were moving around a lot on the plane to get away from this guy. And they were speaking French, you know, I don't speak French, and I was sitting next to the guy. So it was nice to be picked up promptly by Eric and Richard and taken to the hotel here. That was exciting for me. Being picked up by anybody where I'm not taken elsewhere is always very impressive. You know? He's in your custody now. No. It's always nice to stand up here and not have to enter a plea. I want to thank everybody on the committee, and I also want to thank the other speakers that I had the opportunity to hear, because the message was an alcoholics message, Alcoholics Anonymous, and Vinoy was an Al-Anon message. There was no distinguishing one from the other, because really it's almost the same message. It comes from the same book. If you don't have one of these books, this is the owner's manual. You know, pick one of these up. If it's not in here, it's not AA. You know, it may look like AA. It may even smell like AA. But if it's not in here, it's not AA. And I want to apologize for the speakers I didn't get a chance to hear and won't get a chance to hear because of scheduling and having to sleep. It's just one of those things that happens in life. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a real alcoholic, you know. Some people see the glass as half full. Some people see it as half empty. I always saw it as too small, you know, like, you know, that's just my disposition in life, you know. I have that kind of a mind that I can make a decision to leave a joint right after they throw me out, you know, like, you know, that's just the way I track things. And, you know, I got through school totally unscarred by education. And I always like to say that up front so you don't discover it 2 minutes into the talk. Where did they get this guy from, you know? And I love the big book. I love the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I love reading the doctor's opinion and where, you know, where it says alcoholics drink because they like the effect. I like what it does to them. That's why I come to AA. I like to come to AA because I like the effect. You know, I go to meetings where they're reading how it works, and sometimes I go off to Disneyland or the Ganges or, you know, and then when I come back, they're saying, could and would if he was sought. And I'm ready to go home. I mean, it's like whatever I needed to get, I got. You know I'm in the right place. And, you know, I've been here so long, I no longer have a mental defense against the next meeting. You know, I just show up, you know, like, where are you going? You know, I don't know, I'll probably go to a meeting, you know. Like, that's just the way I am. And I enjoyed listening to people laugh because I know that's really, really important in AA. You know, I looked here, you guys got the 12 steps. I look here, you got the 12 traditions. That's 24. I used to run numbers. I know numbers good. And in between, you got your We Are Not Saints convention. 24 letters. So you cover everything here, you know? And the deal is that in the reality of life, if you be an alcoholic like me, you're trying to escape from a reality you're not in, you know? And I spent a lot of time doing that, you know, like trying to get away. You're not here. Okay, well, I'm going anyway, you know, like. And I always seem, you know, I always had trouble communicating with people because what they were saying and what I was hearing was always different than they were saying and I was hearing. Sometimes I would hear things like, God love my ex-wife. She used to say things like, there's somebody outside. I said, that's where they belong, outside. When they, you know, when they come inside, give me a poke. You know, we'll kind of do something about it. You know? That's the way we communicated, you know? She'd say things like, that's your second drink. I said, honey, don't worry about me. Just go ahead and finish your breakfast. You know, like, it's like, you know, like, you know, I didn't know sometimes why we were talking, because what I was doing was obvious. You know, you're drinking. Very good. You know, this is, you know. I mean, but that's just the way it was in life. People would always say things to me, and I, like, you know, it just went by me. It was like, you know, I watched the other night a program on TV. It impressed me. It was about Einstein. And it had to do with the faster something goes, the slower time gets. And that's where he got that formula from, you know. Energy equals MC squared. I'm impressing you now. That's all I know. But it's the faster it goes, the slower it gets, you know, the slower time gets. And I figured, I don't know what anybody else got out of that show, but I thought, what a great guy to drink with. You know? Could you imagine sitting there with Albert, you know, and you're going, so what do you think, Albert? You know, faster it goes, the slower time gets. You know, you just love a guy like that. You know, you finally have someone who's in the same realm you're in, you know? Like, you know, and that's just the way I am. Like, I could never figure, you know, anything out. And that's why I love Alcoholics Anonymous, because you have the countdown, and you got 50 years and people with days. And it's like, they're all trying to do the same thing. You know, it's not like, you know, over the weekend, you know, there were several themes that I got out of this thing. And one was the fact that sometimes life goes in your favor. We call that consolation. Everything seems to be coming your way. God knows you're on the planet. You know, the check's in the mail. Everything is beautiful. And you just know that you're one of God's kids. And then along comes desolation. And desolation is, you know, nothing seems to be going your way. In fact, it all seems to be going away. And you're not sure whether God exists or not, or you're not sure what's going on. You're checking the mail every day, and there are no checks, you know. And the deal is that in Alcoholics Anonymous, you get to do the same thing regardless. If it's going away, what do? The old time, oh, go to meetings, work with others, read the book, none the beam, the bomb, the boom. Okay. It's all coming my way. Hey, you go to meetings, a bing, the bong, take the newcomer. You know, you do the same thing, you know. And I love the newcomers because they all want to be spiritual gurus. You know, we got a whole new class of people going, I want to be spiritual. I want to be spiritual giants. Before you're a spiritual giant, you have to be a disciplined midget. You know? If you take the word spiritual and you look at it, in there is the word ritual. R-I-T-U-A-L. And the ritual is you go and you do things. You know, like we have into action. That's the ritual. Well, I just want to talk about it. You know, if this was an aerobics book and you opened it up day one, because some old timer told you to do it, and it said, today's plan, run a mile, do 20 sit-ups, 40 push-ups, and walk 2 miles. And you closed it. And the next day you opened it up and go to page 2. What you're going to find out is the aerobics isn't going to kick in because you are doing nothing. Or as they used to say in my Italian neighborhood, ugaz, which means less than nothing. You know, this is why they say you must do the program, work the program, take the step. You know, it's not about reading the book. Reading the book is the beginning of it. And you know what? If you like me, you get going on this thing. I fortunately came in and hung out with people who, as I heard over the weekend, were giants in this area. They were able to stay sober no matter what was going on. Guy loses his leg. Well, I lost my leg. What are you going to do? I'll see you Thursday night. No one thought about, well, you know, like, I got to go do something about the leg. It's like, gone. You know, there's nothing to do anything about. You move on. And that's the nice thing about that. And also the fact is you have to be very careful of the old timers. Because sometimes without meaning, they say the most ridiculous things. You know, some guy was sharing that he was in a jacuzzi with 5 beautiful women. They were all nude, including him. And he had all the booze he could possibly drink. And he was a newcomer to AA telling this story. And some old timer, meaning very well, said, hey, you don't have to worry about that. That will never happen again. We're going to give you this big book. What's the correlation there? You know, like... Wait a second. I mean, listen, you're going to give me the big book? Thanks. What a program. And I hung out with guys and still do. You know, they're not the brightest bulbs in the room. And that's why we get along so well, because we all stand out well when we're in each other's company. You know, some guy was talking about the guy who was the Unabomber. And this is what he said. He said, you know, Ken, I just read about the Unabomber. I said, what'd you read? He said, he lived in the mountains for 20 years with no water, no electricity, in a little 8x8 cabin. I'm surprised the guy didn't go crazy. You know you're hanging out with a regular road to runner there, you know, like, you know. And the deal is that you get around those guys and you're around them all the time. I mean, you hear them. One guy will say things and another guy will say something and you'll say, I didn't hear that, you know. But you did hear it, you know. Like one guy will say, you know, how come there's lights on vacuum cleaners? The other guy will say, don't be so stupid, Tony, in case the power goes off. You know? You know? Now, these guys are voters, and they all have vehicles. You know, they're out there moving around among you, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they're to be found. And these guys are staying sober, and all they do is read this book and then take the action, you know? And it's not like you're really challenged here mentally if you just do what's in the book. It's amazing to me. I sponsor a psychiatrist now. And I also sponsor a guy who's got a fourth grade education. This psychiatrist is new. He's got about 8 or 9 months. The guy with a fourth grade education, he's got 9 years. So he's trying to teach the psychiatrist how to make coffee. I get phone calls from the guy and he says, not for nothing, Ken, but this guy's slow. You know? He says, every week I tell him the same thing. He says, why? I said, because that's the way we do it. Don't you remember from last week? Are we going too fast here or what? You know, then you get a call from the psychiatrist and he says, Ken, I do not like being belittled by a guy who's got a fourth grade education. What can you tell me about this? I said, look, I can only tell you one thing, Doc. He's got the keys. We trust him. He knows how to keep commitments. And the coffee's always ready. You know, that's the nice thing about this. It doesn't make any difference which end of the spectrum you come from. It doesn't matter what your starting point is that if you come in here, I notice there's only two kinds of people who come to Alcoholics Anonymous. Those that are done drinking and those who aren't. And we just can't tell them apart. In fact, sometimes they don't know who they are. But the ones who come here who are done drinking, no matter what comes up, they're still here. The other folks are like waiting for a chance to bail out almost. You know, it's like they want to make cameo appearances, you know. And I always remember that the guys back east, they say, you know, if someone doesn't want to come to AA, nothing will stop them. And, you know, they're absolutely right, you know. And that's why in our group, you know, when we celebrate birthdays, we go, you know, like, plus, we don't have guys that are like running around like scholars, you know. And yet they stay sober. And I hear people get into all kinds of stuff that's supposedly in this book. You know, and what I'm saying to you or suggesting to you is read this book. It's a great little book. And, you know, come to these meetings. You know, I heard today Vinoy was sharing about the dance, you know, the dance they did in West Texas to end the night. There's going to be a, you know, come hurt me dance tonight right here. 13-step or whatever they call it. Yeah. I'll tell you when I'm almost done, you can strap on your wacko magnet. You know, like, There's one there that looks just right for you, you know, like, yeah. And God, in his infinite wisdom, to level the playing field, always makes the wacko ones look the best, you know. That's his way of saying they're in the game, you know. But Vinoy was sharing about how the last dance ended, and you know, and then she said in the morning, at least this is what I heard, she said, they managed to get away, you know. And I heard Polly talk about at length about perception. This is a disease of perception. And that's what life is. It's not about what's going on. It's about what we think is going on. You know, that's like a, it's like a snail sitting on a turtle's back going, wee, you know. It's like, it's just the way, you know. You know. And that's the way life is. And that's the way life is for me all the time. It's about perception, you know? I have a buddy, he bought a dog. He calls it a dog. It's a chihuahua. I don't know if you know what a chihuahua looks like. To me, perception, it looks like a big dog that hasn't gotten here yet. You know, like, it looks like it's still on the come, you know? And then you realize it's sitting next to you, you know? Like, this is the dog. There isn't any more. Just, you know? And you say to yourself, that's the way you go through life. It's not about what's happening. You're making up what's happening, you know, because you have no sense of reality. And that's why in this book it says alcoholics drink because they like the effect. And sometimes they can't tell the difference between what's real and what's unreal. How can you have a conversation with somebody when you're not even in reality? You know, it's very difficult. It's like several years ago, a word started to creep into AA, and it's gotten a little foothold now, but it's going out real fast. And it's called denial. Denial. You know, it's like a medical word. It's not for alcoholics. It's too wimpy. You look in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it uses the word delusion. Now, you look up the word denial, it's real pansy. It says, someone who knows the truth who can't admit to the truth. Denial. You look up the word delusion. Now, there's a word for it. It's a psychotic thought. You know? Where the individual involved has no idea of reality. In my group, when you're in denial, we call that spiritual progress. You know, like you're heading in the right direction, you know? And the deal is, this is why I like to come to these things, because I love to hear laughter. I love to hear people laugh, because I know a lot about laughter that most people don't know. First of all, you cannot think and laugh at the same time. So every time you laugh, you're getting a respite from your favorite topic, which is you. You know? Like, you know? And secondly, is it's very healthy, because it produces all this stuff in your body, you know? And it makes you, like, pain-free and gives you all this energy. And, you know, that's what alcoholics need. You need to laugh sometimes. You need to understand that everything in this book, everything is positive. It's taking you in a positive direction. It even tells you at the end of the day, it says in step 11, at the end of the day, we constructively review the day. It doesn't say we destructively, you know, make it go by, you know, doesn't say that. And yet you hear people coming into meetings and the literature. The only thing we do in moderation in AA that I observed is the steps. You know? Everything else were excessive, you know, like, but the steps were in moderation. There's a page in this book, 132, and on that page it's kind of like the essence of Alcoholics Anonymous for me. It says, we absolutely insist on enjoying life. That's like a centerpiece. It's like the centerpiece of our program. I'm a numbers guy. If you look at that page, on that page there are 33 lines. We absolutely insist on enjoying life is on the 17th line. It's 16 lines up from the bottom, it's 16 lines down from the top, and it's two words in from either side. It's like the author said, I hope they see this. You know? We are not a glum lot. If the newcomers came here and all they saw would be... Who would want to be here, you know? I mean, you see some people sharing and you feel, God, they missed their calling. They should have been a hemorrhoid. Lips are all puckered up. And all they talk about is how bad they are. I've been here 8 years and it's not gotten much better than me. Well, do you work down at the Central? Oh, I haven't got time to work at the Central office. Too busy complaining. But the nice part about it is you start to hang out with people who are doing the same thing as you. And then life gets to be real, real exciting, you know? And you know, it's all about perception. It's never been about what's going on. It's always been about what we think is going on. And the nice part about recovery is that at some point, and several people hit on that this weekend, at some point you reach a point in life where you sustain a loss, wherever that loss comes, and it's so painful. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be loss of a lot of things that are close to you that you love. Could be a parent, could be a child, could be a husband, a what. And when you sustain that loss, it immediately changes the context of how you look at life from that point forward. Because what you realize is if it's human, it's going to die, change, or go away. And then you begin to realize that while it's here, you want to be awfully good to it. You want to love it. You want to get close to it. You want to talk about things that are important. You know, I went last year on a one-month silent retreat and didn't talk for a month. And when I came back, I didn't feel like I had missed anything. When you think of how much stuff we talk about, that's totally useless. And you know, you want the mashed potatoes tonight or the french fries? You want the ham or you want the bacon? You know? And we just get caught up in that stuff. And loved ones come and go, and a lot of times we don't tell them what we're feeling. And that's what recovery has been about to me. The spiritual experience, doing the ritual, realizing that each step in this book is one twelfth of the spiritual awakening. And if you skip that, you can't get to the spiritual awakening because you're still asleep. We're like sleepwalking, you know? And it talks about, you know, if you're not, I guess the best way to say it that I know of is, in this life, in order to win, particularly in our program, you have to be present. You have to be present to win. Because if you're not here, you're nowhere. You know what I mean? And most people don't figure that out. You know, it doesn't say in this book, you know, there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you meet him Thursday. It says, you know, you meet him now. You meet him in this moment. The book talks over and over again about the consciousness of the present. You know, as you become conscious of his presence, you'll lose your fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. You'll be reborn. You know, that's what they talk about. You're reborn. You're, you know, get up and boogie. It's happening. Even if you don't know it, you're still in... You know, it's a happening thing. Burn into the consciousness of every man that he can get sober regardless. You know, like, it's always about being present. You can't be absent and win here. And then as you go on here, you realize there's a lot less here than meets the eye. Because most of the stuff that takes place is inside. You know, this one of the great paradoxes of Alcoholics Anonymous is you get out of it by getting into it. You know? And most people you say that to, they're kind of like, okay, you know. Something's in Ken's coffee, you know. And you got to learn to kind of back people up a little bit, you know. Keep them at a little bit of a distance from you, particularly when they're trying to just steal you, you know. I always remember John Madden, and I heard him give a talk. It wasn't an AA talk, but he said he used to coach the Raiders. He was a very successful coach. And at the end of the half, he doesn't, you know, he just picked this up. He used to say to the guys, okay, this half, let's forget the mule and just load the wagon. And the guys would go out screaming and yelling, and they'd win. And guys were going to the Hall of Fame calling them up saying, John, what does that mean? And he didn't know. He didn't have a clue. He just said, you know, it's something I picked up, and it seemed to work with you guys. The guys were going into the Hall of Fame going, hey, let's forget the mule and just load the wagon. And so if you have newcomers that kind of overrun you sometime, you need to develop one of those lines. Now, I got my own. You can't use mine, but you can get your own. But mine is real simple. I just look at a guy and tell him, you know, the fish in the sea are not thirsty. Then I go get a cup of coffee. And within minutes, you see that guy in the corner telling, fish in the sea aren't thirsty. You know, like, don't you guys figure that out? You know? Then that night, you get a call from some guy, hey, Ken, yeah, I know the fish in the sea aren't thirsty, but how about the rivers and the streams, you know? Like, you know, right away, you know, he's got a PhD, you know? He's moving on, you know? But the whole idea is to just kind of just do this thing a day at a time. And that's the way I enjoy life. And you can't explain Alcoholics Anonymous to anybody else. No one would understand it. Absolutely no one. You know, I was on a plane one time going from San Diego to Amarillo, Texas, to speak at a convention that I was told they were going to have about 4,000 people there. And we hit thunderstorms over Dallas, and we couldn't land. And, of course, we were going to miss our connections. And the guy sitting next to me said, are you going to make your connection? And I said, no. He said, oh. He said, where are you going? I said, to a convention. He said, what kind? I said, Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, he kind of tried to move a little bit because he didn't want to catch anything. And then he kind of like squeezed a little bit over to his side. And he said, what are you going to do there? I said, I'm going to speak. He said, what will happen now that you can't make it? I said, doesn't really matter. They have 4,000 people there who can give the same talk. And I went right on reading my magazine. Well, you could just hear the clicks. You know, you can hear like tumblers on a safe. He pokes me. Now we're buddies. And he said, excuse me. I want to ask you a question. I said, sure. What is it? He said, let me see if I have this right. They're bringing you from San Diego, California, to Amarillo, Texas, to give a talk. I said, right. So far, you're good. And you're telling me there's 4,000 people already there who could give the exact same talk. I said, correct. And then he asked the question, you knew right away he wasn't an alcoholic. He says, why would they do that? And of course, in my glibness, I said, that's just the way they do it. And then when we landed in Dallas, I said, you got time for coffee? But he was busy. And he said, no coffee, I'm off here. But, you know, you cannot explain this to people. That's why it works for us. Everything is paradoxical, you know, because when you come in, they tell you, don't make any decisions. Then the next guy you talk to says, stick with the winners. You know, you got whiplash, like, hey, whiplash, like, what the hell is that, you know? And when you first get here, if you're an alcoholic of my type, what you realize is that, you know, you're like a dog on the freeway, you know? You have very few options, and none of them are very appealing, you know? Like, you know, the guy tells me, I failed at everything, but you stick with me. You know? And that's just the way it is. And we collectively understand that, you know? And you can tell alcoholics jokes you can't tell anybody else because nobody else would get them. You know, I tell a joke about the guys who have trouble going back to the scene of the crime. You know, a guy told me, Vinoy told the story today, if you weren't here, you missed it, but it's about doing the same thing over and over again. And this guy, you know, he's in a very possessive relationship now. He doesn't even want the gal to see her husband. But it's like, you know, but his call the other month was like this. He says, Ken, I don't know what's happening. I said, well, give me a little bit of info so I have an idea. He says, when I'm coming home from doing what I said I would never do again under any circumstances, I have all the courage in the world. But when I'm going over there, I run red lights. How do you figure that out? And I thought for a minute, and I said, oh, it's very detailed. One, you want to do. The other one, you don't. And my son, who was right in the middle of his deal, I mean, he had Carposi's sarcoma, he started, went to partial dementia, he lost his eyesight, he lost his hearing, I mean, he was just blitzed by this thing. He came out of the bathroom one day, had like two hairs left on his head, and he had twisted them with grease. And he put a towel around them, and he came out and he said, whenever you're ready, you can call Gentleman's Quarterly, you know, like, you know? And it was like, he knew what was going on long before a lot of folks knew what was going on. And when he died, after he died, we went in the hospice. And it was interesting because my wife was there with my husband-in-law. And he left and we got to be there right up until the moment where he left this world. And you know, I held my dad in my arms while he died. And I've held people who were very close to me in my arms while they died. And I've had a sister and a brother die of this disease a week apart. One died of cirrhosis on Christmas Day of 85, and my brother died New Year's Day of 86. A week apart. We buried my brother on a Saturday one week, and excuse me, my sister, and then the following week we buried my brother. We stepped over my sister's grave to get to my brother's. Because there wasn't nothing there but mud. And you know, I know the serious part of this disease. You don't have to get me after the meeting and say, you know, that guy does have a point. Yeah. Unfortunately, the way he wears his hair, you can't see it. But the bottom line is that I understand the serious part. But I know for me, when I came in, people made me laugh. And in making me laugh, they made me feel like everything was okay, even though I had convinced myself it wasn't okay. There was nothing okay. I would call my sponsor, you know, and they would say, he's so... The other guys would say, oh, you got the best sponsor. He's so caring. He's so loving. And I'd call him, and I thought I got the wrong guy, you know? Like, I'd say to him, you know, my wife left. He said, good for her. I can't see my kids. Lucky them, you know. I'm going to jail. Good. That's where you belong, you know. And then, you know, we'd kind of do this. And then at the end of it, he'd always say something that would give me what you'd call food for thought. And he'd say, hey, Kent, maybe you get lucky and die tonight. Oh, and suddenly, everything else was not important. It's like, well, now I think I'm at home, you know? And so I know what it is to go through that. You know, there's some people here, you know, they come in, they make Job look like a lottery winner. You know, like they just say, this is wrong. And alcoholics, the only time they don't have a half measure is when they're losing stuff. You notice nobody ever says, I lost something. They always lose everything, you know? I lost everything. I even lost my socks. You know, I lost. Well, I lost half of them. The other half I can't wear because I only got one of a kind. You know, like, you know, it's like we. That's the way we do this thing. And the old timers, fortunately, who have been over this, you know, they have all the jokes. They make all the jokes. I got sober with a guy who I just fell in love with right from the get go, called Lewis. And Lewis was one of those guys. Everything was so simple to him. And he used to sit there, and if you were sharing and he didn't like what you were sharing, he'd start reading the Reader's Digest. And he would just open it up and start reading. And one day someone went over and said, Lewis, what do you do when I see you turning from the front to the back? And he says, I'm doing the power words. You know, they have these vocabularies. And he said, I'm doing the power words. And they said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking at the word, and then I see what it means. And the guy said, well, that's not the way you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to keep it closed, look at the word, and then see if it's A, B, C, or D. You guess. Lewis looked at him and says, why would I guess if I know where the answer is? He said, that would be like having an alcoholic problem and not looking in the big book. And the newcomer didn't get it, but he impressed the hell out of me. You know, like... And Lewis, one day they were talking about making decisions. Do you ever hear people, the process they go through? At least that's the way they talk about it. Well, I call my sponsor, I inventory, I go to the Red Cross, you know, I do it, you know, I stay up all night, I call the night owl theater, you know, I do whatever, you know. And Lewis got up there, he says, when I have a decision to make, he says, I reach in my pocket, he pulled out a silver coin, there's the silver dollar, he said, I flip it. Heads, I do it this way, tails, I do it that way. 38 years sober. I can live with it either way. Then he went and sat down. You know? And then you hear guys saying, I wonder if he ever goes 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5, you know? You know? But that's just the way he was. And he was one of those guys that you just need at every meeting because he's the common sense of the meeting. He knows the answers are in the big book. The big book is his owner's manual. And he doesn't have 10 other things he's trying to massage at the last moment. You know, down in our area a couple of months ago, we had this little Buddhist Vietnamese monk speak. Not an AA meeting. And he ended his talk, Thich Nhat Hanh, some of you may have heard of him. But he ended his talk by saying something. And this is what he said. He said, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. There is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. And there is no way to enlightenment. Enlightenment is the way. And that's the way he ended his talk. And when I got home that evening, I took that talk that he had ended, and I thought, that's the triangle of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, there is no way to happiness except service. If you're doing service, that's when you're the happiest, if you're an alcoholic. And the book tells us that. It says our very lives depend upon it. Doing service. Being there for someone else. Not be so focused on yourself. Being there to help someone else out. Providing for their needs. Seeing what you can do for them. And that's how happiness comes. It's a byproduct of doing what we should be doing. And there is no way to peace. And I thought that's the unity part. Once you become comfortable with the traditions, you stop fighting everyone and everything. It's no longer a war. It's no longer about competition. It's now about cooperation. It's like getting very comfortable in the moment. This is my moment. This is where I'm at. This is the way it is. Let's deal with this. And there is no way to enlightenment. And that's what sobriety is. Sobriety is the beginning of enlightenment. I hear people constantly talking, and they're absolutely right about they have found God in sobriety. They're, you know, your own consciousness of what God represents. And this was the road that we had to take as alcoholics. Some of the other roads might work for somebody else, but for us, this is our road. And it's a road that leads us in a direction to the reality that we must become conscious. We don't have to become sharp. Somebody mentioned today, you know, in Bill's story, it says, surely this must be the answer, self-knowledge. And then the very next sentence says, but it is not, you know. Self-knowledge in AA is the booby prize. You know, like, you know all about yourself. Woohoo! So what you got is a perception of someone who isn't in reality, who's trying to get out of the reality they're not in, you know. Oh, boy, am I on a winning streak now, you know. You know. And I like visuals. You know, I'm a visual kind of guy because to me it's like something you can do with a newcomer. You know, when a newcomer says to me, I don't understand this, I just ask them a basic question. You know, try it sometime. It really works. And you ask them, which hand is your strongest hand? And ask them their age also because that's embarrassing. And they'll say, I'm 52, I'm 47, I'm 26, whatever. Which hand is your strongest? My left hand, my right. In other words, if you were to open something, that is definitely your strongest hand. You're 35 years old, you know that. Right, yeah. Now put those hands together and push as hard as you can. which hand wins? And the answer is, neither hand wins. When you push as hard as you can, it doesn't make any difference whether the right hand is your strongest or the left hand, neither hand wins. And the reason for that is, all the power is coming from one place, from us. Our ability to change is being met by an equal ability not to change. We do not change ourselves. Throw away all those self-help books. You know, throw them out the window. Don't let them fall over while you're sleeping. You'll die from the crush. You know? So what do? We relax our hands. And we ask for a power greater than ourselves to come into our lives. And that power can do for us those things that we were never able to do before. Great events will come to pass for us and countless others. This is a great fact for us. The great fact if you're an alcoholic and you're sitting in a chair tonight is you are a winner. But that doesn't mean you're a winner on Sunday and Monday. It means that you're a winner today. And that tomorrow you have to continue the ritual. You know, if you don't continue the ritual, it gets real, real sad after a while. You see, people here tonight, when we did the countdown, how many people did you see out of this group who had more than 20 years? 25 years. You know, it starts to thin out. Because people decide that, hey, you know, something else is out there. And what I have found in Alcoholics Anonymous has been the best thing for me is I only have to do today. I like only doing today. You know? And I like that business about there is one who has all power, that one is God, may you find him now. If you look at that word now and you turn it around, it's one. W-O-N. When you've learned to live in the now, you've won. There is no other time for us. This is it. If you're next to someone who's drawing their last breath, you never hear them talking about regular stuff. You know? I've been to a lot of funerals. I've been to a lot of burials. You know, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. You know? The hearse doesn't even have luggage racks. You know, like, you know, nobody's going anywhere with anything. So the only thing you get to keep, and that's the great paradox, is what you give away. And I can tell you that in my life, particularly in the last few years, a lot of things have changed. And they've changed in a way that I just have a different context of looking at life. And it doesn't mean I didn't have access to it before, I just couldn't see it before. You know? You can't see it until you can see it. You can't hear it until you can hear it. You know, I was one of these guys, I wanted to use God like a hand puppet. I wanted to show God to the world, but I wanted to keep my hand in it. And God kind of said to me, you know, you got to give it all up. And when you give it all up, you'll understand that you've lost nothing. And that's a heck of a lesson, that I can only lose what I don't have. I cannot lose what I do have. So if you're sitting here tonight, you're a winner. Relax. This is it. Get ready for the dance. Pick out your target of opportunity. You know, like that. You know, like that. They may not play Sleepwalk, but, you know, they'll have some other tune that you guys can use. When I heard her say that, and then she talked about, Vinoy talked about Sleepwalk being the dance where you kind of just fit in at the end, I was thinking in the morning, she said, they always get away. And the song that came into my mind was Dylan, Bob Dylan. It ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, you know. You know? and that's the way it is. And there'll be some good dancing here tonight. There's a lot of sickies. I've been around for the whole weekend, you know. Like, there's a lot of sickies, you know. And, you know, and they'll be playing those really get-down tunes like, I'm just 2 six-packs away from loving you, you know. Throw a saddle on the stove, Mama. We're riding the range tonight. You know, you know, you know. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for letting me come here. I really want to thank you for letting me be part of this. I want to thank everyone involved for making this a real special weekend. I haven't gotten out in the last year to do this as much as I used to do it, and it's been much better for me. And it's been much better because I've been able to stay at home with guys who I just get to spend more time with. And that's necessary at this point. And I work 6 days a week, which I know God has a good sense of humor, you know. I went from being a non-worker to 6 days a week. And you know what? It's good, too. Everything is good. I may not agree with it 100% at times, particularly when I do 10-hour days and have to be there at 6 in the morning. It's like, but you know what? It's okay. because now I know the ritual. And as long as I do the ritual, it doesn't really matter what happens out there. I've come to keep them here. And the thing that I can share with you tonight, which I could never have said just a year ago or 2 years ago, is I've come to the realization in my life, the awareness, that I have no power to fear on this earth. There is no power here. But there is one who has all power. May you find him soon. That one is God. And when you get to that point, you realize that you don't have to scratch stuff that don't itch. You don't have to know anything to laugh. You don't have to be anything to have something. In fact, in AA, it seems to me, my observation is before you become somebody, you have to become nobody. And if you don't go through that process, then you really don't have anything to share. If consolation is all you have, then you really don't have any desolation to share. But if you've got a good balance of consolation and desolation, you have a lot to share. My sponsor told me when I first got sober, he said, you are a wild man. He said, if you can stay here and get sober, someday you're going to be a disciplined wild man. He said, you're going to be worthwhile knowing. And you know, that's who I feel today. I am a disciplined wild man. On the outside, I come off like Kukla, Fran, and Olive. You know, and I can play any one of the roles. You know, I can be an animate or an inanimate object anytime I want to. You know, it's just the way I do that. But inside, where the best stuff goes on, I'm at peace. And I'm at peace because I know there's no power here on earth that can change the things I really have. And I got that by coming to these little bozo meetings, listening to this little bozo message from a bunch of bozo people that I would never even hang out with before. And I can tell you this from the bottom of my heart. You know, there was a song out many years ago, probably in the 40s, early 50s. And the words of that song went, if someday someone writes my life story, for whatever reason that might be, you'll be there between each line of pain and glory, because you're the best thing ever happened to me. God bless you.